May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be now and always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Do you find it easy to be a believer? Because I don't. I never have found it easy to believe. It's more a case that my brief experiences of unbelief or the contemplation of unbelief is more difficult to me than any challenge of belief. And perhaps it's always been that way for believers. The gospel reading for today suggests it was difficult to believe even in the days immediately after Jesus was risen. We might think that it must have been just wonderful then. We might think that all must have been so good and obvious and positive and hopeful because Jesus was alive. But consider this. Think back to what the gospel reading was last week. It was Jesus appearing to the disciples, giving doubting Thomas concrete grounds for belief. And the week before that, there was the excitement of the empty tomb. And then this week, we have the account of fishing. After these events, we are told, after all of that, there's this picture of the disciples being a bit unsure. This reading suggests that even after Jesus had appeared to them, they had harbored some doubts, and some had gone back to the comfort of what they knew best, in their case, to fishing. I love the picture of them sitting around and John saying, "I'm going fishing," and everyone else saying, "We'll come with you." What a picture of people who just were at a loss. Jesus met them there. And Jesus made clear his forgiveness, especially to Peter, who had denied him three times. And you might wonder why those disciples were at such a loose end, were perhaps so disconsolate. Well, they were living through days when the entire axis of history, of the entire creation, was shifting. They were living through days when the new world God had promised was starting to emerge, where God's kingdom was starting to come on earth as it is in heaven. What days to live through. It can be very tiring and trying living through history. We have just a glimpse of that. And because of that, the disciples were having to reevaluate everything. They had to reevaluate the nature of life, the nature of God. They were going to have to leave everything and share this new message of salvation. And this message had caused Jesus to be arrested and killed. And right at the end of the reading I just read, there is this chilling account of what awaited Peter. What a decision to be faced with. And finally, they had to reevaluate Jesus. This mysterious man that they might have thought they'd come to know over 3 years of being with him, he was in fact God Almighty. He was a mystery. The psalm that Lynette read for us today has a similar flavour, it seems to me, of doubt, of uncertainty, of belief and unbelief. It seems to me to capture beautifully the complexity, the ups and downs of faith felt by those early Christians, the ups and downs of faith felt by anyone who believes, felt by us. Verses 1 to 5 of the psalm travel very quickly from exulting through to weeping. And it's weeping made bearable only because of the knowledge that rejoicing comes in the morning. The psalm is a superb statement of the fact that faith in God does not insulate us from the trials of life. Faith in God enables us to see beyond, to look over those trials, to have hope that they are transient. If you have it handy and would like to look at it, look at verses 6 and 7. And if you don't have it handy, I'll read through them anyway. Verse 6 starts, "When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken." What a thing to say. I will never be shaken. "Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed." What a short journey the psalmist has been on, from feeling secure to feeling dismayed. What foolish confidence the psalmist displays, "I will never be shaken." Within a few lines, that bravado was punctured, and all it took was for God to hide his face, and the psalmist was dismayed. The psalmist clearly knows the ups and downs of life and of faith. The psalmist can speak authoritatively to us because of this experience. The psalmist has fought for his faith. He has encountered troubles. His armor is dusty and dented from the blows that he has received. The whole experience of faith is as a struggle, of having to rely on God's support in that struggle. And that is a deeply biblical experience. That idea of the whole armor of God, of course, comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he talks about the belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield, the helmet, and the sword. But the train of thought as I was going through and preparing this reminded me of one of my favorite biblical proverbs. It's from the Old Testament. And in 1 Kings, Ahab, king of Israel, replied to a boastful threat from another king. And he replied with these words, "Let not him who straps on his armor boast himself as he who takes it off. Let not him who straps on his armor boast himself as he who takes it off." In other words, don't boast before the battle, while you're putting on your armor which is pristine and undamaged, before you encounter your foe. Boast after the battle, after you have survived, after you are probably tired, perhaps injured, your armor is dented, but that particular battle is done. I have found that those Christians I can listen to most closely are those whose armor is dusty and bent and battle-scarred, who have gone through or are going through a struggle. And there are two observations I find about such people. The first is that they are familiar with their faith. They know their faith. They live within their faith. The Holy Spirit lives within them. They know the broad parameters of what we believe and how we act, and we say them in the creeds and in the responses. We also, in private prayer and Bible reading, come to God. Such people love God and know when he departs from them, when he hides his face. I'm not talking about the book knowledge of a theologian. I'm talking about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In a sense, I could say such people are familiar with their armor. They put on their armor. They know how to put on their armor. They know the bits of the armor. They know how the pieces fit together. They wear all the pieces as they should be worn. They're able to move quickly within their armor. They live their lives in that armor. The armor is genuine and strong and protects the vital parts. So that's the first thing I'd notice about such people. They are familiar with their armor. And the second one is that they have been tested in their faith and have come through the testing. This won't be the last time of testing. It continues. And they won't have come through unscathed, but they have come through. They may have had moments of doubt. They may have encountered, without knowing what it is, that cloud of unknowing which separates us from God. They have come to realize what the psalmist realizes. When God favors you, your mountain stands firm. But when God turns away, when God hides his face, we are instantly dismayed. We realize that all security comes ultimately only from God. So doubts and blows will come. That is the life of faith. That is natural for those with faith. And these blows and doubts would break us without that armor that God provides. And so in closing, I have a question. Are you wearing your armor? Are you wearing all of it? Do you know the parts? Do you know how they fit you? Not something you've heard of, but something you've experienced. Are you wearing your armor? Is your armor still pristine, or is it battle-scarred and dented? For it will be a long struggle. We will not remove our armor this side of heaven. So it is something in which we live and move. But when the day comes that we can remove that armor, When faith changes into certainty, we will see our King face to face. And that is the time we can put aside that armour, we can put aside the struggle. But in the meantime, let us remember that rejoicing comes with the morning. Amen.